somebody, just whisper hallelujah. Come on, just say it out loud this morning. Come on, say hallelujah. Come on, come on. It's the highest praise, church. I dare you, just come on, just say hallelujah in this room. He's here. He's present today. He deserves the highest praise. Give it to him this morning, church. Just give him the fruit of your lips. Give him the fruit of your heart. Hallelujah, Jesus. He deserves it. He's wonderful. He's great. He deserves the highest praise this morning. Let us pray. Our Father and our God, we thank you in advance for all you're doing in our lives. We thank you for being present. Thank you for coming to earth to save the world. We're so grateful. Now, God, you are the potter. I am the clay. Mold us, shape us, make us, break us to what you need us to be. Holy Spirit, we give you full authority. Minister with my mind, speak with my tongue, love with my heart. We ask all this in Jesus' name we pray. And all God's children say amen. Hallelujah. Amen, amen. We continue our series entitled Good News, Great Joy for All People. Good news, great joy for all people. The good news first came in week one as the fulfillment of prophecy. 700 years it was prophesied that this Jesus would come, and Bob told us that this fulfillment is coming. And the words came to, this good news came to Elizabeth and her husband Zachariah, and Bob told us it put us on a path of peace. And that path of peace, that good news came to them. And last week I told you that that good news came to Mary and Joseph, and that it was Mary's job, that she was of the fulfillment of a servant, that this good news that brought great joy was for all people. And this week the good news comes to the shepherds this week. And so my focus text this morning will be verses 8 this morning, and 8 through 10, and here's the word of the Lord. And there were shepherds living out in the field nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. And the angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring good news that will cause great joy for all people." For the time that's mine, just a few minutes this morning, I just want to preach from this title: My Earthly Condition is Not My Godly Position. My earthly condition is not my godly position. All of us in this room have a different walk in life. Some of us, our walks are more difficult than others because of the condition or circumstances we were born into. Oftentimes when our conditions in life is difficult, we find ourselves positioned differently in culture and in society. If you're raised with a silver spoon in your mouth, then you see yourself differently than those that have no spoon. If you're raised in conditions in the inner city, then you can find yourself positioned differently than those living in the outer parts of the city. If you're raised outside of the church, you can find yourself positioned differently than those that are in the church. If you're raised in the condition of one-parent household, you can find yourself positioned differently than those who are raised with two-parent households. Oftentimes, our culture assumes that one's condition in which one lives is the equivalent to the position in their life or in the kingdom of God. we oftentimes attribute that more value to those conditions and positions who are well off, less value to those who aren't. When we do this in our own communities, unconsciously, we are guilty of creating what I call insiders and outsiders. And I know that we have insiders and outsiders, and we do it unconsciously, because if you are CEO of a company, you had to share information before to your employees or your leadership team, and you would be expected to come to the leadership team first and give them the information before it went public. They would be very upset if the information went public without them having inside notice so that they can deal with the problems that may occur. How about this? Maybe you're married here today, and you ever had a dinner where at the dinner table with the family, and then all of a sudden you share the information with the family before sharing it with your wife. And the information comes out, and your wife wants to know, why didn't you tell me that first? Because we have what we call insiders and outsiders, and sometimes we think that the information should come to me first. Well, I know that I'm right, because I remember one time my kids, I know that their earthly condition is not predicated on your position, because my kids, when I would go to the school, Marjorie, I would check on them and wanted to know how they were doing in school and their behavior. And now my boys uniquely are positioned uniquely in the classroom. All of my boys, both Stephen and Nathan, are positioned right there in front of the teacher. And I look, and I'm, you know, as a proud parent, I'm sitting there, they're looking studious. They can literally, they're so close, they can count the nose hairs on in their teacher's nose. They are that close. And every time I attended the school, they were in the front of the classroom. And so I assumed, being naive, that, you know, the behavior of the position reflected their behavior. And only to find out that the teacher, whenever there was a behavior problem, the children that were having a problem would sit closer to the teacher. I discovered that your position wasn't a reflection of your condition. But Grace City, I'm so glad that God is more like Nathan and Stephen's teacher, that the worse the condition, the closer God draws us to him. In God's eyes, your earthly condition is not your godly position. We serve a God that when we were in our worst, he came close. When Adam was hiding in the garden, he came close. When Moses was hiding as a shepherd, he came close. When this God came, when David was hiding and they couldn't find him, God came close. And this is the good news, church. When we were hiding, hidden in our sin, we serve a God that came close. That's good news for somebody this morning, that our God comes close. And he came so close. John puts it this way. He says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, so that whoever believes in him may not perish but have everlasting life. We have a God that comes close. He's just not any old God. He is a good shepherd who was willing to give up his life for you and for me. And I don't know about you this morning, but that's good news for me, because I know one thing. I didn't have it all together. My life was not perfect. As a matter of fact, the songwriter put it best. He said, when I was sinking deep in sin, far from a peaceful shore, very deeply stained within, sinking to rise no more. But the master of the sea, he heard my despairing cry, and from the water he lifted me. Now safe am I. You want to know why I'm standing up here this morning? It was his love that lifted me. His love that lifted when nobody else could help. It was God's love that lifted me. Well, in our text this morning, in chapter 2, we're introduced to Jesus' birth narrative. The author, Luke, wants us to understand that Jesus' earthly condition does not represent his godly position. He shows us that the cultural condition before the Messiah is born, he shows us the physical condition when he's born, and he shows us the condition of the shepherds after he's born. The condition of the culture before Jesus is born is we find this very interesting line in scripture that Jesus is introduced and comes on the scene in Luke chapter 2 at the time when they are doing a census. It says at the time that the census was going on, this Jesus is now introduced. Luke uses this as a painful reminder that the condition of Israel was in an oppressive state. They're being ruled by the Roman Empire in their own land, and the empire is oppressing Israel. And he introduces this idea of not just a census, but the purpose of the census was to tax the Israel. There are two ways they oppress Israel, through taxation and crucifixion. And now Jesus comes on the scene in the season an oppression of taxation. He comes on the scene in taxation, but he leaves the scene at crucifixion. There is the condition here that there is an oppressive condition. But the good news is that even in the oppressive condition, there's still a plan that comes forth. Luke wants us to know that the cultural condition that Jesus was born in was difficult. But he uses the difficulty of the cultural culture to move this message forward. At this time, Joseph is married, is now has to move to the place where Joseph lives. He is moving to the place where Joseph lives. And when he gets there, it puts them in the perfect position to where the Savior is to be born. But the conditions in which he's born is not good conditions. We know the story. We know that Jesus is now at the guest room and he wants to go to the guest room, but there's no room in the guest room. And now our Savior is sitting inside a manger, inside of a stable. Literally, he's in a feeding trough for animals where animals eat. I'm trying to let you see that the conditions, cultural conditions is bad. Jesus' physical conditions are bad. And then all of a sudden, he brings up the conditions after Jesus is born. And the condition after Jesus is born is in the message that comes forth, that this message that the Messiah is born comes to the shepherds. Luke wants the audience to know that the earthly condition does not represent godly position. Luke shows the condition of the shepherds, and they are living on the outside. They are outsiders or outliers. There are people who don't fit in. They are outside the norm in culture. They are the lowest in society and culture. They are overlooked. They are marginalized. They are insignificant. But in the kingdom of God, the lowest in society is very significant. In God's economy, the last will be first, and the first will be last. Then this condition after his birth, we find in this condition, the birth announcement comes forth. When you make an announcement and the announcement of something that's important, you usually share it with your inside group. When our children were born, we shared with our immediate family. We shared with our church family. We shared the information with our close friends. Bay City, I don't think it's a coincidence or happenstance that we find the greatest Jewish announcement coming to shepherds who are on the outside. Because your personal condition, it does not define your godly position. In the kingdom of God, church, the outsider is God's insider. If you feel like an outsider this morning, this section of the text is for you. God interrupts the regularly scheduled program of the birth of the Messiah to let anyone who feels like an outsider this morning to know that he came to you first. I come as an angel of the Lord to say to anyone who feels like an outsider this morning that your earthly condition is not your godly position. Well, Pastor Corey, how do I know that my earthly condition is not my godly position? I'm glad you asked. You asked brilliant questions this morning. Your earthly condition is not your godly position because he's divinely positioned you to receive his message. He's divinely positioned you to receive his message. Look, it's in the text, verse 9. He says, an angel of the Lord appeared to them. The outsiders. The text says, the angel of the Lord appeared to them. The most significant announcement in Jewish history, which is the Messiah, or Savior, is born. And this information were given to the shepherds who were poor, downtrodden, alone, without community. See, the shepherds were socially invisible, but in the midst of being socially invisible, poor and alone, God sees them, and God sees them in the midst of their circumstances. This is God's pattern. When the first shepherd became king, the whole family, the first shepherd was David, and they walked him through. They walked all the brothers through, and they didn't know where David was. He was invisible. But in God's eyes, God knew he was the shepherd king. Listen, church, shepherds are uneducated, but God had his eyes on the shepherd. Shepherds were unskilled, but God has his eyes on the shepherd. Shepherds were viewed dishonest, but God has his eyes on the shepherd. Shepherds were considered unreliable, but God had his eyes on the shepherd. Shepherds had character problems, but God had his eyes on the shepherd. What matters in society and culture is education, finances, political position. But what matters most in the kingdom of God is the position of your heart. Man looks at the outward appearance, but God looks at the heart. Your earthly condition is not your godly position. That's why David said, and he knew that God, even though he wasn't perfect, he was able to write Psalms 23 and say, the Lord is my. Because it's not about the outward, it's about the inward. The message this morning is a Savior, Messiah, comes to those who are invisible, alone, poor, and in bondage. The shepherd's job is to keep watch over the sheep. But while they are keeping watch over the sheep, the Lord has his eyes on the invisible. The Lord has his eyes on those who are lost. And I don't know who I'm talking to this morning, but if you feel invisible, if you feel like an outsider, I need you to know, I've come here with a message for you, that God has his eyes on you. Your earthly condition is not your godly position because, secondly, he divinely positioned his glory all around you. He's divinely positioned his glory all around you. Here it is in the text. And the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. When the shepherds at night was watching the sheep, the angel of the Lord meets, but God's glory is around them. Listen, church, they are in a dark place protecting the sheep, but God's glory is all around them. You may be here today as an outsider in your darkest moment, but I need you to understand, the devil made one mistake. He allowed you to have enough strength to get to church this morning for me to tell you that in your darkest hours, God's presence is all around you. You may be on the edge of giving up. You may feel like an outside shepherd, but for some reason, you got enough strength to march yourself in, put that makeup on, and get to church this morning for you to tell you that God's presence is all around you. Right in the dark place this morning, you are in the very presence of the Lord. The psalmist says, it is in the presence of the Lord that we can find the fullness of joy. The glory of the Lord is manifested. Listen, church, the glory of the Lord is the manifested presence of God. The glory of the Lord is the presence of God. In other words, the shepherd's dark place was in a dark place, but God showed up. You are not alone. I don't know who I can't leave this thing alone because God keeps pushing me to somebody who's in a dark place. I need you to know that God shows up in the dark places. The earthly condition is not your godly position. For Israel, when the glory of the Lord shows up, it meant restoration. When the glory of the Lord showed up, it meant redemption. When the glory of the Lord shows up, it means that God was with them. When the glory of the Lord shows up, it simply means God is present. I don't know, church. I can't leave it alone. But somebody sitting in this room, you look like you got it together. You got your makeup on. You're sitting up there looking straight, but you're feeling alone. And the Holy Spirit will not leave me alone off this point for some reason to tell you, you are not alone. It's one thing to feel alone when you are alone. It's another thing to be alone when you're in a room of people feeling alone. And God told me to tell you, His presence is here. His presence is now. I'm telling you, I cannot leave it alone. I'm trying to move to the next point. But He wanted me to tell you, oh, Lord, have mercy. You are not alone. Your earthly condition is not your godly position, because He divinely possesses a message to come to you. He has divinely positioned His glory around you. But the last thing this morning is that your earthly condition is not your godly position, because God's good news is positioned just for you. The good news was for Israel, but it was for all people. But the angel of the Lord said, "Do not be afraid. I bring good news to cause great joy for all people." Church, the prophet Isaiah writes these beautiful words in Isaiah 61. And the children of Israel were in captivity. And while they were in captivity, in their darkest moment, the prophet Isaiah comes over and says these words. He says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because He has anointed me to preach. He has sent me to bring good news to the poor, to open the prison doors to them that are bound." The good news came to them in their darkest moment. He comes to heal your broken heart. He comes to bring good news to the poor. He comes to bring freedom to every area in your life that's held captive. He comes to bring freedom and release every dark place and area in your life. What better place is there to make an announcement to people who are isolated, poor, downtrodden, without community? And I know, church, it gets tricky in here, because it's like those people out there, but it's right in here. People are sitting in here, downtrodden. See, blessed are the poor in spirit has nothing to do with your money. Blessed and poor in spirit, meaning I am empty enough to know that it's not my sufficiency, but it's God's sufficiency. The same way the good news came to Israel and the shepherd, He's here today, Emmanuel, the God with us, for us, to say to you this morning, your earthly condition is not your godly position. I'm closing. Pastor, I get my earthly condition is not my godly position, but I feel like an outsider, and the question I have for you is this: when am I going to be divinely positioned to receive God's message? You're raising the question this morning: when is God's glory is going to shine around me, this darkness I'm going through? I can hear you this morning. When is this good news? Because you have no idea what I'm going through. When is this good news coming to me? And the word this morning is in verse 11. The first word in verse 11 says, today. The first word in verse 11 is today. You don't have to wait to go to the tree on the 25th. It's today. Maybe you're here today. You never met this Savior. You said, Pastor, you really touched me today. How do I really dive into this? Paul writes in Romans these simple words. If you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord, believe in your heart that he was raised from the dead, saved. You're rescued. He's present. He's yours. He's there for you. He's available to you. And I know it's a lot of people in here. You're like, I don't want to go through all that. But I'm a mix the crowd up today for you so we can do business today. I want the entire congregation to repeat after me. Lord Jesus, I ask you to forgive me of my sins and save me from eternal separation from God. By faith, I accept your works and death on the cross as a sufficient payment for my sin. Thank you for providing the way for me to know you have a relationship with my Heavenly Father. Through faith in you, I have eternal life. Thank you for hearing my prayer and loving me unconditionally. Please give me the strength, the wisdom, the determination to walk in the center of your will. In Jesus' name. Let's just sing that hook right there.
Let's worship.